You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Is that Geddy Lee? Who is that, Grappler?
Triumph.
Oh, it's Triumph.
Triumph, yes.
Yeah, see, Triumph. This is a top 10 Peeler song of all time.
Oh, okay, there you go. See, now that I've heard the chorus, I know it. I would know it's Triumph, though. I'd have no idea. It sounded like Geddy Lee to me. This is where we missed Noodles, because Noodles is not here today. He's not feeling well. And you know this is just burning him up, man. He hates when he has to take a personal day. And that's what it is. Make no mistake. It's a personal day.
He should not be here tomorrow. You can't go from the can all day to feeling 100%. You need 3 days.
Right. Well, I guarantee you he will be here tomorrow.
Dude.
I guarantee you.
You know my philosophy on this. You can't come in here like that.
You can say that all you want, but it's a 1 versus a 16 seed tomorrow.
You know what?
And
get
Noodles
him a high
is a one
chair,
seed.
And he can sit outside the glass. Because I'm not going to be
I don't
around.
Want him in here.
I don't want him in here.
I don't need that type of activity. Because I guess he's just an absolute disaster.
A disaster. I called him and he was puking.
Mm-hmm.
I said, just don't worry about it, man. I'll call you later.
But he's always got the reference to like 80s hair metal. Like I don't know any of that stuff. That's way out of my field of expertise when
Triumph
it comes to music.
Triumph was huge in the 80s.
Yeah, that wasn't my wheelhouse.
And that was a Peel tune, top 10 Peel tune of all time.
Well, I don't know how we stumbled across the whole nudist beach thing in the previous hour, because you were away. You weren't at one.
So the question we had for each other is, do you like go to dinner nude? Or what's the move?
Well, I haven't seen anybody send in any details on that, but what I have been receiving via text and email and tweets, there are a lot of nudist resorts and beaches in Ontario, which
what?
I was shocked by. Obviously, they're seasonal. You can't be out there in the middle of winter. But I guess, you know, 4 or 5 months a year, there's places in Hamilton, just north of Hamilton. Can you imagine how
Jesus
gritty that
Murphy.
Beach would be? What
just
kind of
mustaches
beach?
And hairy balls everywhere.
Just biker gangs and
tattoos,
steel workers, and I'll bet you there's one near Oshawa. I think there is. Oshawa and Hamilton, it's always gritty areas. Someone said there's on Center Island, like a part of the island. Which I find hard to believe.
I don't think so.
Because you can't escape that. You know, you start walking, you get caught in that beach, and I guess you get to a different part of the island, but you can't get off the island. You got to wait for the ferry to come over.
It's just crazy. I don't need.
No. So anyway.
But the question I have is, at a nudist place, do you like go to dinner? Do you put your shoes on and that's all and go to dinner?
Well, what's the point of wearing shoes?
Well, yeah.
Like, is that where you draw the line? Like, everything else is a free for all, but I need shoes? I don't know. If you have that type of information, send it.
Yeah,
send it. So the Leafs are coming off, and I know you were away, but you really, all you got to do is look at the game sheet to figure this out. They gave up 23 goals over 4 games. It was an absolutely abysmal week. The worst week for them I can think of in years. Years. Since even the tank season, I don't remember them having a 4-game stretch where they gave up 23 goals and looked that poor. And they got 10 left before we're right back at square one in Boston for game one. That's where we're going here, because now Boston is back up 4 points. There's only 10 games left. The Leafs would have to go like 8-2 or 9-1 to secure it.
Big
I don't
picture,
see it happening.
That's all that matters, is that to get it ready for that series. Because if they resemble anything of what they are right now against the Boston Bruins in the playoffs, it's 4-0. 4-done.
Well, and that's where if I can find a glass half full from last week, it's a humbling experience. They're clearly not peaking at the wrong time, because they're nowhere close to peaking. The weaknesses are obvious. It's not like they can't score or they don't have enough skill or enough talent. Everyone knows what they have to do. They have to focus on the defensive end of things, and they've got to get a little bit more determined, a little bit more physical in their own end. I think that goes without saying. But now I think you can focus on resting Freddie Anderson, too. I think if the one thing that can come out of last week is the determination that Boston is going to have home ice. Prior to last week, it was still up for grabs. At one point, they were 2 points out. But now with 10 games left, the way that you're playing, the way that the Bruins are playing, home ice is likely too far out of reach. So now I would change my whole schedule when it comes to Freddie Anderson. 10 games left, I'd play him 5 times. And I tweeted this out on Saturday night, and I know it's not going to change because Patrick Marleau, I think he obviously understands what he's doing with the Iron Man streak. I think he's probably attached to it. He feels like he should have some pride, and he does, the fact that he plays every single night. But if I'm Babcock, I'm going to him, and I don't think he will because of the respect that he has for Patrick Marleau. But I'm asking him, are you willing to break the streak so that you're in a better spot to succeed come playoff time?
I don't think. What is the streak at?
Well, he's up over 700 games.
Yeah, he won't.
But is that unreasonable to go to a guy who's 40 now or 39 and say, hey, you can't keep up right now on back-to-backs. You can't. Like, do you mind sitting a couple of games out so that we've got you at 100%?
I don't think he would do it. I think that stuff's important to guys, and he's going to say, I'm not going to ruin the streak to get rest and blah, blah, blah. He would never do it.
You don't think Patrick Marleau would do it?
I think he needs to do it, but I don't think he will do it.
I don't think he will either. I don't think Babcock would ever even breach the topic out of respect to Patrick Marleau and the streak. And listen, in other sports, basketball in particular, load management's happening all the time for teams that aren't even in the playoffs and guys who are in their mid-20s. You know, I have a huge amount of respect for Patrick Marleau that he shows up and plays every single game. But are you here to win a cup or are you here to extend the Ironman streak? You know, that's the one glass half full I would take out of last week. Boston's got home ice. So start resting, guys. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How would you handicap the chances of Patrick Marleau being willing to break the Ironman streak to get some rest over the final 10 games?
Well, I'm sure he doesn't want to do it. You know, I mean, he's played a long time and played, how many games is it in a row now? And, you know, you're proud of it. You don't want to come out. But I guess it is part heartless or whatever, but, like, he came to Toronto to try to win. If he was going to just go to extend the streak, he could have gone to a crappy team and played all the time, and nobody would care. However, if maybe Babcock thinks they can't take him out. Although what I remember is when they came back from the All-Star break, he played his 3 best games right away. Remember they were off for 9 days?
Yeah.
And he was flying. I think he had a couple of points the first game, another couple of points a game later. But the difference in his skating was really notable. Now what I see is he's just there. Like, there's no impact to what he's doing.
No, that's why I'm with you. I mean, he came here to win a Stanley Cup, and I think he's a big boy. I would have that conversation. We got 10 games left. We're going to play in 5.
Yeah, it's not like you can waste a roster position and say, hey, third period, you're not playing. Doesn't work.
No, you got to come out of the lineup, right? Yeah, you have to. It's in the best interest of the team. The reason we brought this topic up, Ray, was obviously last week for the Maple Leafs was just an abysmal week. But I think the glass half full may be the reality that Boston is going to have home ice. So change up your sched. You know, you got 10 games to feel fresh and feel better about yourself. And change up the schedule and don't play guys every single night or don't drive them into the ground. And if I'm Freddie Anderson, I'm playing 5 of the final 10 and let him pick his spots, maybe 6 of the final 10. But that's how I would approach it going forward.
Now, I don't know if you guys remember this or, you know, if Larry Robinson was long gone by the Canadians when you were watching. But when the Canadians were, like, the best team by far, every year Larry Robinson started the playoffs with a tan because they sent him down to Florida with 10 days left in the regular season. Their position was secured, usually in first place, but they sent him down. They're like, man, you're going to play 25 or 30 minutes a game when the playoffs start, so go get some rest. And he'd go down to his horse farm, and he'd get a tan and do whatever, you know, ride the horses around, and he'd come back and he'd be ready to go. And so I don't, like, this has been done years and decades ago with very few players, but it was done. I'm looking at the Leafs now, and you can just see the frustration oozing out of them. Now they're flogging themselves in public. you know, you got Garrett Sparks saying we need more emotion, and you got Freddie Anderson saying we got to, you know, our details got to be better, and then somebody else said we suck at something else, and pretty soon you're just all talking about how terrible you are.
Well, Ray, let's rewind to the Sparks comments. What did you make of those from the backup goaltender?
We're from the playing side of it, right? You're the backup. Stop the puck when you get in there. We don't need that evaluation in public.
Especially after a sixth spot.
Right. If you lose 2-0 and you make 52 saves, say whatever you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, blow all the candles out on the cake. But, you know, he was fishing pucks out left and right there. And I just think it's part of a... It's now part of this spot where they're just... They're frustrated. They can't figure out how to change it. And I know, you know, we hear this statement a lot. Oh, you can't use injuries as an excuse. But you take out two guys, the three guys that have been rotating around in their place aren't anywhere as good. So they can't be better. They're going to be worse, for sure, even in the short term. Then today I read, you know, Babcock's comments of, you know, that's why we got to keep going and getting better players. You know, like he's already pushing the narrative to that. You still got 10 games left in this season. You still, like, they're not that far away from Boston as far as a team. Boston's got warts, too. Now, I mean, they're getting, Pasternak's going to be back, and I think maybe tomorrow. And, you know, it looks like Miller will be back and Greslick will be back. I'm not so sure about Krug, who's in concussion protocol, but... You know, like, it's not like the Leafs are, if they were to beat Boston, it would be this colossal, monumental upset. But they're sure as hell not even in the ballpark the way they're playing now.
No, I mean, the talent hasn't changed, right? Like, you mentioned the players that are out, of course. Gardner and Dermott would be upgrades over the other two guys that are in there. But Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, Kadri, Kapanen, and they're all still here. And they all have the talent. It just, the focus is clearly on the defensive side of things. They gave up 23 goals in four games. So, and needless to say, that can't happen, that won't happen in the playoffs. But how
it's
do you...
odd, though, four games in a row. Like, usually after a lot, you're like, the next night, you're like, okay, guys, joke's over.
Right, they never clean it up. Not at any
but
point.
But really, I guess, Brian, don't you think, like, if we go back during the season, even when they were, you know, winning all the games, it seemed like, there were chunks of the game or even a large part of the game where they'd win 6-2 and you'd go, yeah, but Freddie Anderson made 39 saves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like they've ever been a really good defensive team.
No, they haven't. I mean, they're built on speed, skill, and Freddie. Like, that's pretty much it. Speed, skill, and Freddie. And, you know, that's the personnel that they have. But I don't think it's asking too much for a little bit more intensity on the defensive end. A little bit more physicality, right? Like, that's the one thing a coach can teach. Not completely. Like, if the hockey IQ isn't there or the wherewithal isn't there, I guess it's completely on the player. But there's got to be something that can be tweaked here that will allow them to clean it up to an extent. You know, at least for certain players.
Well, did you read Barry Trotz's article today? I don't know if you happened to come across that. They asked him about going... It was in Pierre LeBrun's column today.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him about going from dead last to first in goals against. And he's like... You know, certainly didn't think this was, you know, this was going to happen. He said, but when he got to the Islanders, he said, this is one thing that we can teach, and if you guys want to learn it, we can be better. And so it was about, he said, this is not about skill, this is about work. This is about effort. It's just what you're talking about, but there is a real life example in New York.
Well,
because the Islanders team's nowhere near as good, skill-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't give up any goals. They don't give up any really quality shots. Not only do the Leafs give up shots, they give up quality stuff. And Anderson has bailed them out all year. So he falls on his rear end for a week, and it's leaky time. Man, there's goals going in all over the place.
Well, another example I would use, they kind of feel like the Capitals for like an 8 or 9 year stretch, from 09 to like 17, basically. Maybe a little bit before that, where the Caps, every year they had the most talent or real close to it. And it was Ovechkin, and it was Backstrom, and Semin was there at times, and Mike Green. Like, they were loaded.
Years of disappointment.
Loaded. And then it would come playoff time. And listen, it's not like they were getting swept. A lot of times they would push it 6 or 7. But the knock on them was they're not going to fight through to block that shot or to pick up that man or to, you know, to pay attention to detail on their own end. The puck starts going north, they'll move better than anybody in the league. But and that's an intangible again, right? That you just you can't. There's no calculator that can express it to people. It's just a willpower to do it.
Well, the Capitals analogy is really good. I remember the 1 year when Jaro Halak was in goal. He made, I don't know, 47 or 5 saves in Game 7, and the Caps lost. They lost Game 7 at home to Montreal. And that was a team that nobody could say they weren't very good. They were excellent. They just couldn't win. They couldn't find a way to win. And so the Leafs are built in a certain way that the question was going to be about the defensive side of the game, like their defense itself, but the defensive side of the game and their will. And right now, that's kind of faded away. I think that's getting smothered by their frustration. Now, can they find it again? I don't know. They're not going to all of a sudden be a lockdown team. Like, that's not going to happen. They can get better at it, but they're not all of a sudden going to be a grinded out team.
No. It's going to be a high wire act. Like, that's what it's going to be. It's...
And if they don't get guard, you know, it was just kind of brushed aside last week, but Babcock said, you know, we think Gardner's behind Dermott. So Dermott's not back till the first week of April, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's not good.
That is,
yeah, that's not good. I don't think they're
not good.
They're not bracing themselves for Jake Gardner to walk through that door. That's not my sense anyway. You know, it doesn't mean that he can't or won't play eventually, but the reports are coming out that he's not rehabbing the way they had hoped he would or react to whatever the rehabbing process is. And, you know, that's irony for you. This is a guy who he has been the one that people have hammered in this city for years as the problem. That's why they have the issues defensively, because of Jake Gardner and his nonchalant attitude at times or how he gets caught out of position. And now they're really a defensive disaster, and people are like, when's Gardner showing up? When's that guy going to show up and save this team defensively? You know, what goes around comes around, I guess.
Well, it was pretty shocking this weekend. You know, we talked on Friday before I did the Flyers game, and we're like, you know, I remember you said there's the only acceptable – result is 4 points.
Absolutely.
And they're down 5-2 to Philly. You know, I mean, and then if Brian Elliott doesn't start playing dodgeball and the Flyers just, you know, they can't keep up anymore, they're in trouble then. And then they go into Ottawa, and I don't even know what that was.
It was a mess. You know, they never looked interested. Like, that's what's really concerning, is they don't look that interested.
In the
like, they had that 5-on-3, and it was kind of lazy. They ended up scoring. You know, they did. They ended up scoring. But Babcock called a timeout in the third. He's like, guys, like, I'm keeping you out here. Let's get rocking here.
I'll tell you what, it's one of the more bizarre goals, just going through the goals against from when I was gone, is the one against Tampa when they're on the power play. It's like, all of a sudden, there's a 3-on-1 in front of the net. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah, well, that was the Morgan Riley play. And that was when the audio came out. So that whole play
was a disaster.
Was a disaster from every side of it. But, you know, you mentioned Pastrnak, and it sounds like he's going to return, if not tomorrow, at some point this week. Is he the guy that scares you the most on Boston? Is it Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron?
Well, that whole line would be terrifying. You know, like Marchand's got he's 30 years old, he's having a career year. I think he's got 85 points this so far.
Mm-hmm.
Bergeron's just brilliant. But Pastrnak is, you know, he's at an elite-level player, an elite-level scorer. He's tough, not fight tough, but he's tough to get into where he needs to get into to score. He doesn't always score from 35 feet. He scores from 2 feet. He fights his way in. I love the way that kid plays. I got to say, I did love Marchand's celebration in overtime.
Outstanding. I feel like he would have done that even if McGregor wasn't in the building.
Yeah, it was great, though. It was fun. It was
his Instagram game. Like, he's launched an Instagram account recently.
Although
he's
forcing it a little bit. Like, every day, it's like you don't.
He's committed to it, though.
He is. It's like, to have a great Instagram game or whatever, you periodically chime in with a heater.
You got to let it breathe every once in a while. But
well,
he's.
I do notice that Torrey Krug's backed off a little bit because he's losing. Like, Marchand is relentless.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the kind of guy, right? Like, he's not going to stop. He never stops. Like, And I guess, you know, this pains me to say, and I don't even think this should be acknowledged as like a positive. It should have just been naturally accepted that it would happen. But he hasn't been licking people this year. So that's a good step. And
yeah, the bar was really raised.
Right. Now it's, you know, he's at like grade one levels of maturity as opposed to kindergarten.
But he hasn't gotten into any trouble at all
all year. No, he hasn't.
And they've needed him to be at a career best pace because of all the players that they've lost. Like, you can hate Brad Marchand, but I think you have to admire the way the guy plays the game.
Don't you think he'll amp that up, though, in the playoffs, Ray? Like, I don't think he can control himself. I don't.
Well, I would say if you're playing against him, you should be poking him in the back of the knees after a whistle or giving him a little face wash when you go by. See if you can just make him snap, because he is good. And he now, with DeBrusque back, they feel like they've got a decent second line to play with them. You know, they got Marcus Johansson. He's going to be back this week, too. And Krejci's had one of his best years in a decade. So the Bruins would scare me, but they'd worry me. But I don't think Toronto just lays down. Like, I don't see why it would be any different, like a close series. But it's got to be better than it is now.
Yeah, absolutely. They got 10 games.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier, right? If it resembles anything like it is right now, it's four games and done.
Yeah, you know what? They're playing here in Nashville tomorrow night, right? I got the game tomorrow, and Nashville's been the same. You keep waiting for them to be really good, and they just haven't been. Rene has been just average. Kyle Turris got scratched last week. And they're like, I'm sure they're doing the same thing. Hey, wait a minute. I thought we had a good team here. What's going on?
Well, it kind of feels that way in Winnipeg, too, in a way, right? Like, they've had injury problems, and everyone concedes that and understands it. But they've had some stretches where you're like, whoa, what is that? Where did that come from?
Hey, the Central Division, you look at, and you're like, man, those teams just clobber everyone. And then you look, and you go, well, maybe they're not.
No. Like, Calgary's, seven up on Winnipeg, eight up on Nashville. San Jose, the same. Like, now you got Vegas pushing. Vegas, they're a heater right now, Vegas.
As soon as they got Stone, they're a heater.
They are a heater.
8-1 with Stone, and I would say if you're Calgary or San Jose, you're fighting like hell to get first place because you do not want Vegas in the first round.
Absolutely.
No way.
Like, you are playing your starting goalies back-to-back games to avoid Vegas in the first round. Like, it is imperative because you're going to finish. Whoever wins that division is going to play the second wildcard team. So you're looking at what, Arizona potentially? Probably Arizona. Like, nicely.
Although, for some reason, and I don't get this, how this could be. So Arizona's got 10 or 11 games left. They just left for a four-game road trip in the East. They're playing New York, New Jersey, two other teams out there. I think it's crazy. Why are they not playing in their conference?
So true.
Like, that bugged me. When I saw that, I'm like, that's wrong. They got to, so not only do, in the West, I found out when I got traded to L.A., holy crap, they do travel way more than the East. I thought it was just the West guys lying, or whining, rather. And I got out there, and I'm like, my God, you're in the plane all the time. You're exhausted. So Arizona's done that all year. Now they got to go out here? That makes no sense. It's not right. So they're not far enough away or comfortable yet that they could, that they can't stumble back to the pack a bit.
No, for sure. They have fought through a lot of adversity, a lot of injuries, a lot of doubt, I'm sure. They're a great story. St. Louis is a great story. Now, St. Louis is in. Like, they 2 months ago, they were one of the worst teams in the league, and now they're secure with 3 weeks to go in the season.
Craig Berube should get serious consideration for Coach of the Year. Trotz is going to win it, but he should be up there.
Well, that's going to be a real spicy conversation because Trotz will likely win it. He probably should. Cooper should get a ton of love. They're lapping the field.
I think I would vote for Cooper.
Yeah, I know. It's like the dominance always gets ignored. It's got to look for something else.
Right.
And they've been kicking the crap out of everybody month after month after month.
They never lose.
Trotz has done a terrific job. Rick Tocchet in Arizona with all the injuries they've had. Berube in St. Louis.
I think those would be your four, Ray. Berube, Tocchet, Trotz, and Cooper.
Yeah, those are the four, but only three can be nominated.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I think they should all fight. Well, that'll push Cooper out because he doesn't want to fight those other three guys.
Well, who would win a fight? Like, Trotz wouldn't win either. Trotz is gritty.
Oh, yeah, just because he's older. But you think Barry Trotz played a finesse game when he played?
That's a good point. He doesn't have the neck of finesse. That dude can throw. But imagine Rick Tocchet. I'll guarantee you Tocchet and Berube fought in their careers.
Of course.
Look that up, Al. Find out how many times Berube and Tocchet fought. It wouldn't shock me if they fought five times.
I used to love when you'd play Philadelphia and warm up in that spectrum where the roof was like 4 feet off the ice. And those big knuckle draggers were skating around in at the center ice spot in warm-up, and you felt like your mid-zone was getting smaller. Like they just might start to come over and take your puck or something. I'm like, I hate those guys.
Craig Berube was probably the scariest-looking guy in league history. One of them, when he had the long hair, no teeth.
Noodles told us about the video. Google it. It's just YouTube at him chasing around Jeff Friesen in Calgary.
Yeah.
It is frightening.
But he fought Probert once.
Oh,
like there's multiple times, but I was in a YouTube rabbit hole on Berube, and like he was instigating a fight with Probert and beat him badly.
I skated around Probert in warm up, and Craig Berube would look at me and just do the throat slashing gesture, and I'm like, what? I went up to Gary Roberts. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with that guy? He just said, stay away from him.
Yeah. Now he's up for the Jack Adams.
Yeah. Coaching.
Yeah, that's got to be a first. Actually, you never know in this league. It probably isn't a first. How NHL would this be, where two of the three nominees for Coach of the Year fought each other during their playing careers? I wouldn't be shocked if it's happened
before.
That would
be outstanding.
Like when Pat Quinn was up, like Pat fought a lot of people back in his day. I'll bet you, like Pat Quinn would have been up multiple times.
Yeah, but who the hell was going to fight him?
I don't know.
Like it was coaching.
Well, right? Larry Robinson, I don't know if they crossed over. Robinson fought. It might be a first. We should look that up. I'll try to get on that if we can. But I guarantee you Berube and Tocchet fought. I'd be shocked if they didn't. Anyway, Noodle's not here today. He's not feeling well, but he'll be back tomorrow.
I saw O's tweet.
Cuts to the chase, huh?
Yeah.
Harry Dunn?
I'm like, huh, I guess he won't be in then if that's what he's doing.
He's shaving. He's shaving in Kleinberg.
Yeah, just shaving.
Yeah, he'll be back tomorrow. So. All right, buddy. Hang on,
we got to ask Ray. Ray, would you ever do a nude resort? We were talking about it earlier.
Huh. Yeah, sure.
Really?
Nice.
Look at you.
Yeah, sure.
I guess why not, huh? You're all in the same boat.
You know my philosophy. You can only go to it if you're packing heat. Like, that's it.
It's a requisite, apparently. You're not allowed in the resort. Like before, there's got to be a check.
I'm sorry, sir. You can't come in here.
It's like Wonderland where you got to meet the height measurement to go on the rides.
And then you get a wristband.
Yeah. Yes or no guy.
How demoralizing would that be if
maybe
you're walking
you just get
back
tatty
to the airport?
That could be Taddy's job. He just sits at the front and he goes, yes guy or no guy. The ultimate game of yes guy, no guy.
Oh, man.
Now your wife can come in. Sorry, you can't.
Yeah. She made the grade. All the women get in, but that's going to be a no guy for you.
That's a no guy for you in that unit. All right, Ray. Thanks, buddy.
Good
later
stuff,
on,
Ray.
Boys.
All right, there's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline is the 2019 Toyota RAV4, the safest SUV. See for yourself at Maple Toyota and get rates from 0% MapleToyota.com. Yeah, that would be really a pretty significant hit to the confidence.
Oh, if you got just gear down and the guy goes, no guy.
That's a no guy. Sorry, dog. It's a no guy.
Yeah.
That's going to be a no guy for me, dog. You're out. The old Randy Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a
no
guy for me, dog.
We got to get some Randy. What is it, Randy Jackson?
Yeah, that's his name, isn't it, from American Idol?
Get some of his no's when he's like, that's a no for me, dude.
That's going to be a no guy for me, dog.
Yeah. That's just a no, dog. No.
Yeah. You try to, like, climb over the fence to get in. Security, they just tase you.
Yeah.
Put your clothes back on for you, and they say, you got to get out of here.
Get out of here. And don't ever come back here. Yeah. And you're not allowed back next year either, so don't ask again.
But your wife, girlfriend, she can stick around.
Yeah. You're on file, you're out forever.
You've been blacklisted.
Yeah.
You're out.
It's just a booklet of units. Just, yeah, that's it. He's out.
It's only a half page long.
To like a lineup.
Tom Stirner coming up just after 6. We'll get into the big tennis news in the country as well. Massive tennis news. I mean,
massive
this
news.
Biggest win in the history of the country.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that later in the afternoon. And the Raptors are in action tonight with the Knicks in town. We'll tee that up as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. TSN 1050's Up Close and Unfiltered series will be returning just in time for the playoffs, and it's all happening at Toronto's Amsterdam Brewhouse, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters, on Monday, April 8th. We're all going to be down there. The boys from Overdrive, Andy, Matt Haas, the guys in the morning, Landsberg and Koliakova, all the 1050 personalities will be there. We'll be talking Leafs and Raptors leading into their playoff runs. Hopefully they are going to be lengthy runs. No charge, no tickets required. Just show up on April 8th before 8 p.m. and get ready to talk playoffs with everyone from 1050. Also, if you follow us on Instagram, don't forget, great giveaway. 1050 and redtag.ca want to send you on a Maple Leaf playoff road trip. To enter, just follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050. Look for our playoff road trip post every Monday morning and tag a roadworthy friend. Then make sure you listen to Overdrive on Friday. And if your Instagram handle gets announced, you will have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and claim your trip for two. All of the details up on our website, tsn1050.ca. So Al is searching diligently here in the break. I'm shocked by this, but it doesn't sound or look as if Rick Tocchet and Craig Berube ever fought.
Wow.
That is shocking to me. Like, Berube must have fought over 100 times in his NHL career. And I'm sure a lot of it was against heavyweights, and it was a lot of repetitive fights. I mean, he probably fought Probert 5 times, Marty McSorley 5 times, Joey Kosher 3 times, Wendell 2 or 3 times. But Rick Tocchet would throw with almost anyone. Like him, Shanahan, Roberts, like those guys in the late 80s and through the 90s.
They were the heavyweights. Power forward.
Score 50 goals and fight anybody.
Crazy.
Fight all the time. And there isn't anyone that's even close to that anymore that can score 40 and fight.
The one thing Nobody. That was scary about Craig Berube, there was kind of an unwritten rule. Those guys wouldn't come after like a guy like me that never fought. Craig Berube? No. Somebody did something stupid to one of his players, he would just grab anybody. He was chasing around Jeff Friesen.
Yeah, that's when he was in Calgary, yeah. I think, right? And there was a big brawl, something happened. He came out of the penalty box and
he
said,
skated,
keep me on the
chased
ice.
Chased Craig or Jeff Friesen around the ice.
And Friesen turtled quickly.
Oh,
like, he
God.
Hit the deck quickly because Berube was, like, ready to kill somebody. And now that guy's a head coach and a really quality one. Like, he's turned St. Louis around completely. They're a playoff team. Tom Stirner will join us in about a half an hour. We'll get his take on the bracket coming out. Can anybody beat Duke? You know, Duke appears to be the best team in the country, but we'll see what Tom has to say about that. And the Raptors, they're 0-3 against Detroit. And they would still beat Detroit because Kawhi would be playing, Lowry would be playing. But I don't like that matchup based on the front court alone.
Well, you know, those
Andre
two
Drummond.
Yesterday?
No, well, Kyle wasn't. Kawhi was playing, and Kawhi kept them in that game. He played pretty well. Van Vliet returned. He played pretty well. Actually racked up a lot more minutes than I was expecting. But they'd still beat Detroit. But I don't think they're beating them in 4 or 5. And I think Dwayne Casey would pull out the magic potion, and he would get at least 2 wins against this team. And if you start getting into game 6 on the road, maybe game 7 at home against a guy in Casey who really knows you well. You know, sure, he doesn't know Kawhi necessarily, but the tape is out. He knows probably what Kawhi is going to bring. Danny Green, Marcus Gasol, but Kyle Lowry, you don't think he knows the deficiencies of Kyle Lowry in the moment in a playoff game? No, thank you. I am avoiding Detroit at all costs if I can. And that's why, you know, the silver lining yesterday is, sure, you lost. You probably weren't going to catch Milwaukee anyway, and you just pushed Detroit that much further up the standings. So you're probably not going to have to face them in the first round. Because that front court, Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, they would cause havoc on the front court in Toronto. Gasol is old. He's slow. He doesn't have a lot of hops. He's smart, but he's not overly athletic. He can't keep up with Blake Griffin. And Ibaka and Siakam can keep up, but they don't have the power to keep up. Like, if it gets into the post, or if Griffin or Drummond are playing with a gravel on, those two are not going to be able to keep up defensively. It's not going to happen. So that's the concern you're dealing with right now if you're the Raptors. We'll see what Tom Stirner says in about 25 minutes. Your boy Rory McIlroy with a win, but Tiger, he survived. He survived the weekend. He played. I don't think he was playing injured. He shot a 7 on 17 on
he
Friday.
He hates that hole, and he always wonders why it's at such a critical spot in the tournament. They're never going to change it, I don't think.
Why would you? It's the most famous par three in the world.
I know, but they talked about flip-flopping the nines, so that's on the front nine.
No way.
No, I agree.
No way, man.
That's what everybody wants to see.
That's what golf is all about. You want to be in that situation where the leaders, it's tight, and they're on the tee box on 17. We'll see what you're made of.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody's ever played that hole. I played that golf course about 35 times. It's a pitching wedge. It's 130 yards.
It's all mental.
It is.
It's all mental.
And some of the best players in the world can't hit that green with a pitching wedge.
Right. Well, they overthink everything because they start thinking about the wind and how they have to play it and where you want to land it. Like, it shouldn't be that complicated.
It's all about Johnny Miller, the nerves and choke, the ability not to choke.
So how does Tiger
Woods
choke? Why
do you think it's like 66, 66, 66 for these guys Saturday or Sunday? 72, 70. Mm. It's all nerves. It's all managing your nerves.
Well, that's what McIlroy did well yesterday. Like, he only shot a 70. I think it was an even par yesterday. But he played smart. You know, and he started
slow.
When that
guy gets dialed in, watch out.
You're in big trouble. Because we're 3 weeks out from the Masters?
And if he gets it cooking at that golf course with a high draw?
Should have put some money down on him. I think he was going off at 15-1 at the MGM.
Yeah, that would have been a good bet.
Mm-hmm. I bet Tiger just for the experience.
Well, Rory McIlroy, do you remember? He had the lead going into Sunday. I think it was somewhat of a significant one.
He was up like 4 strokes on anybody else.
And he wall squatted and deuced all the way around that golf course.
But I think it was only the back nine, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think he was alive in the front nine.
He snap hooked one on 10, and it went to hell from there.
Yeah, he put it off like the roof of one of the houses.
Yeah.
Like it was gone. Like he had to drop. I think he had to go back to the tee.
And it honestly turned into a mess.
Yeah, he shot like a 78 or something like that. Like, he was way off.
It was 40 plus on the back nine.
Way off. He wasn't even close. You know, that's the beauty of Augusta, right? With Spieth, we all know what happened with him. He did the same thing 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah. Water on 13. Water again. No, 12. And then just choked and just puked it away.
You're out, man. You start to spiral out of control at the Masters, you're done. You're not going to be able to get it back on the rails. But I think for Tiger, it's really just about health. He played 72 holes. He didn't complain. He didn't pull the chute. He had one really bad hole. Other than that, he had a pretty good tournament.
Yep.
So if you're following Tiger Woods, like a lot of people are, he's going to play one more tournament, I think, in a couple of weeks. That'll be it. And then he's going to get there anyway. Yeah. That's all you can ask for at this stage of his career. Get there and be healthy and be feeling okay at the Masters.
Yeah. We can never ask our boss this because his answer would always be yes, 100%. But I said I never thought he'd win again. He won last year in quite a fashion. It was impressive in Atlanta at the Tour Championship. But I just don't know about another major. I don't know if he can handle it coming down the stretch.
Well, he always chokes out for at least a hole, if not like a stretch. Like he did that at the British Open. Was it last year? I think. He was on the 11th tee in the lead.
Yeah.
Like on his own. And I think he doubled 12, bogeyed 13.
Bye.
See you later. And that's not Tiger Woods. Like 15 years ago, if Tiger's sitting there on the 11th tee, pack up your bags and go home. It's over. He is not going to choke that away.
But he doesn't have that vibe anymore with these guys.
No. But even with himself, it's not even about these guys. You know,
well, they're not afraid of him. Before, it used to be, oh, my God. It would be like Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus knew he was going to win. He knew that the opposition knew that he was going to win. Everyone knew he was going to win. But with Tiger Woods, that used to be the case. Like, this guy got in the lead, it's game over. It's every fairway, it's every green, and it's game over. But he doesn't have that.
No,
he
doesn't have the game to do it.
No, that's
right. Or the mental capacity to fight through. This guy can still swing it. Like, you watch him, there are still times where he is money.
Yeah, he's hitting shots that no one else in the
world. Nobody, and he's hitting putts to where you're like, no one can putt like that. He has a hole, somewhere between 1 and 3 holes every single tournament where he chokes it away.
Yeah.
Tom Stirner in about 20 minutes. Back into the Leafs. They're in action tomorrow night in Nashville. They've got a back-to-back Tuesday and Wednesday night. So we'll start looking ahead to those games. And we will get into the big tennis news, some big soccer news over the weekend for the country as well. We're getting into all that later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Steve Weissman will join us as well, Tennis Channel host and play-by-play voice. He was down there at Indian Wells where Bianca Andreescu, she won the tournament. It's being deemed and titled the greatest Canadian tennis achievement of all time just because of the significance of the tournament. And, you know, for the majority of Canadians, let alone tennis fans, complete unknown 3 months ago. Like her name kept popping up because she has had a very successful 2019 in late 2018, where, you know, she was qualifying for tournaments and she was winning tournaments, or at least, you know, doing some damage, winning some matches. And this is where Twitter really factors in, because, you know, her name starts to trend a little bit and it starts to pop up and it's on the radar a bit. But after you win a tournament like the one she just won yesterday, it's more than just, hey, I think I've heard that name. It's, I know exactly who she is. I know where she's from. Mississauga, 18, Romanian background, lived there for a couple of years, came back. Like, I know the whole backstory now.
Oh, you get a win, dude. You're on the map.
You are on the map. And, you know, we still got a few slams this year with the French, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open. And, you know, I think you've got to brace yourself a little bit for maybe a bit of a letdown. You can't be penciling her into finals at Grand Slams. And I think we learned that lesson with Shapovalov to an extent, you know, a couple of years ago with what he did,
you know,
and even more so with Jeannie Bouchard.
In months.
He hasn't taken that next step, right? Like, you do some damage, you beat Nadal at the Rogers Cup, everyone's going crazy. You got to take that next step. Jeannie Bouchard is the greatest example of that.
No, she's Kornikova. She's off the map. She's not even.
No one even expects her to win anything. Yeah, it's to that point. Does she even play? Like, she does, but does that even matter?
I think she'd just rather focus on modeling and doing that stuff, and I never see her anywhere.
Well, she barely qualifies for anything.
Yeah,
she's so far down the world rankings, she's not on the radar.
She's an Instagram model. She's not even a tennis player right
now.
She's
an influencer right now.
Yeah.
And she does a very good job at that.
Yeah, she does.
Like, her profile speaks for itself. Yeah. She's got a huge following. Like, they're making a movie out of her and that the guy with the Super Bowl bet on Twitter, and that's going to develop into some movie. So I'm assuming, you know, someone's playing Jeannie Bouchard out of Hollywood.
Would she get any cash for that?
Yeah, it's her story. She'd have to get paid for that. I don't know what, but
are you sure? People could just. I'd be interesting to find out
if the character is Jeannie Bouchard.
How
she's
would you ever
paid.
Say? You could just say, you know what, this happened another time, and
well, from that standpoint, I don't know. But if it's Jeannie Bouchard, that means the other guy's got to get paid too. The Yahoo that no one even knows from Wisconsin. I don't even know his name. Gerke or something. Or was that the Big Mac guy? Tom Stirner coming up. Again, we'll get into Bianca Andreescu and what she achieved yesterday. Alfonso Davies scoring as well for Bayern Munich. 18 years old, youngest guy in the Bundesliga to score this year. He's a Canadian making noise over in Europe.
He left from Vancouver, didn't
he? Absolutely. He's a player, too. And at 18, he's starting to make some noise over there. Back into Garrett Sparks' comments, the Maple Leafs and the Raptors playing tonight. Kyle Lowry is in the lineup. He will go tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.